But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Chapter 11. Echo and Fives' hands are never far from his skin. John understands it completely. If he had easy access to skin, he would probably be doing the same. But it's harder when Fives and Echo are all wrapped up in armor. Even with the danger of the stairs as they descend, even though they just had each other, John wants more. Fives' hand rests low on his back, and the mere fact of its presence is already more than John ever could have hoped for. "I don't know if I like this," Fives mutters. "Isn't something supposed to be jumping out and trying to eat us?" Echo snorts, like he's not scanning every inch of the stairs ahead of them. "If you say that, it's definitely not going to happen," he says, and casts a sideways look at John, gauntlet brushing his knuckles. "Anything?" John shakes his head. They've been descending for at least 10 minutes now, and he still can't sense anything. Whether it's danger or the vault. Whatever traps are coming are likely going to be the most dangerous. And there's a prickle of unease across his nerves, but he can't tell what's coming. "We're going in the right direction," he offers, because that's all he has. And Echo grimaces, catches John's wrist to squeeze it gently for half an instant, and then lets go again. John casts him a quick smile before he turns his eyes forward and says softly, "We're almost to the vault." "How can you tell?" Fives asks, but it's curious, not demanding. "Instinct," John says, and means the Force. They're the same thing to a Jedi. "It's like how you know the way to put a blaster back together, even if you can't see it."
"Hours of being tortured by trainers?" Fives jokes, and John doesn't look back at him. Dark Woman's training was brutal, but he's not sure it counts as torture. He came out of it a Jedi, after all.
"The training likely helps," he allows, a little rueful. And Echo snorts. His elbow brushes John's again as he pauses, and then points ahead of them, to where the lights of Fives' helmet catch on a dark spot in the wall, though the light can't break.
"Trap?" he asks. "Or just a door?"
"Both?" Fives mutters, and John can't help a sound of pained agreement, stepping past them. He's careful of his feet on the landing, but there don't seem to be any pressure plates or trip wires, and he crosses to the narrow door, pressing a hand against it. In the very center of the weathered metal, a kyber crystal kindles, glowing pale gold. There's no threat to it, nothing that John can sense, and he touches it, feeling out the mechanism. No handle on the door, no latch, but when he presses gently with the Force, it clicks open, swings inward, perfectly soundless, and John stares into the perfect darkness beyond for a long moment, and then grimaces.
"Endless impenetrable darkness seems like a good start," Echo says dubiously, right behind John's shoulder. Like in the trapped hallway, the lights from Fives' helmet don't seem to go more than half a meter before they're swallowed completely, the unbroken pitch black hiding everything.
"I think the vault is on the other side," John says quietly, holding a hand out. And it's hardly even instinct, just a flicker of suspicion, a touch of certainty that shouldn't hit so hard, especially coupled with a rising, impending sense of perfect, grim foreboding.
"Through the creepy darkness it is," Fives says, sounding more or less resigned to it, and tips his head. we want to hold on to each other?
Yes, John says, and something prickles down his spine like wariness, like caution. Not uncertainty, not doubt, but this is going to be dangerous. It's heavy, like a sense of impending doom that weighs on top of John's lungs. Stay as close to me as you can. A hand fists in the back of his cloak as Five steps closer, locking wrists with Echo.
I think there'll be another handy dial to turn off the darkness? He asks, halfway to a joke.
Think we'll be able to find it without tripping over it? Echo mutters. But when John steps into the darkness, he follows. If there's another spot where the darkness breaks, John can't feel any pull towards it. He keeps one hand near his lightsaber, the other outstretched, as he takes short, careful steps. The floor is smooth beneath his feet, large tiles that are almost slick, and he thinks of more water traps, drowning in the darkness, and tries not to let his stomach turn over.
Room must be big, Fives says, and there's tension in his voice that matches John's. I can't hear any echoes. Well, except one.
Echo snorts, but there's a thud like he just thumped a fist against Fives' armor.
I don't hear anything, he points out. If there's water close to us, it's not moving.
Apparently, John isn't the only one with those thoughts. He feels a flicker of rueful amusement and says quietly, we're a good distance from the river.
I don't think distance is going to stop the people who built that statue trap, Fives says, and it's a little dry. There's...
In the darkness, something cracks. John's thoughts are all wrapped up in Fives and echoes, his mind tuned to theirs after what they shared, after being so close. He feels Echo's jolt of dismay like it's his own. Feels the tile beneath his boots give and reacts instantly. With a hard jerk, he hauls Fives forward, catches his arm, grabs for Echo even as there's a deep rumbling beneath their feet. Echo shouts, falling, but Fives sets his feet and John pulls. And with a heave, they drag Echo back up over the edge of the hole. He slams into John, clutching at his shoulders, and the impact knocks John back a step. He takes it, finds nothing but empty air beneath his heel. There's a half second to recognize what's happening as John lurches backward, another to feel Five's startled cry even as he does the same, and then Echo grabs them both. He wrenches them back upright, onto the small, square tile that's alone in empty space, and John grabs him. Grabs his arms around Echo and Fives both, and hangs on as they teeter dangerously in the darkness. For a moment, there's nothing but silence, tense and fraught, and then Echo's breath shudders out of his lungs, his arms sliding around John's waist, hauling him a bare inch closer.
Bantha shit, he says, and Fives huffs out a sound that's too winded to be a real laugh. I was right, he says. It was you who triggered it.
Echo scoffs.
Yeah, well, I think that makes us even, and now we have to get out of the trap.
It would help a lot if we could see what the trap was, Fives mutters,
and there's a scuff. John grips him tighter, closes his eyes, and tries to feel what's around them. This darkness doesn't seem to swallow the force the way the hall with the arrows did, and he breathes out in relief. But it's still impossible to tell what's around them. And then, in the darkness, there's a flicker of light. John catches it out of the corner of his eye, just a pinpoint of brilliance that flares and fades and flares again, green and glowing in the pitch black. A little startled, John turns his head and finds it far below them, small in such a way that he can't tell if it's the light's actual size or simply small with distance. The light is a kyber crystal, the same green as his lightsaber, and the glow of it feels like a tether, like he's being beckoned. John needs to go to it, and he knows that immediately and without hesitation. There's no way to know what he'll be jumping into, though. And John hesitates, casts a look at Fives and Echo, even though he can't see them in the dark. He's the only one who needs to go to the light, and the whisper of that instinct is just soft enough that he could ignore it. He wants nothing more than to keep them close, but danger, something whispers, a prickling trail like talons dragged up his spine. Danger to them. Tightening his fingers against slick plastoid, John stares down at that pinpoint of light. There's a sinking sensation in his stomach, an awareness, a certainty. That light is the key to the trap, and the vault is close. If he takes Echo and Fives down to it with him, they'll be in greater danger than if they stay up here on the platform. But if John leaves them, there's a strange sinking awareness in his chest that he won't see them again. John? Echo asks, sharp. And John closes his eyes and swallows. It could just be a feeling. A lot of things are, and he's hardly infallible. But... do you trust me? He asks quietly. And there's a moment of startled silence, a wash of offense from Echo. Yeah, Fives says without hesitation, and his fingers curl tight around John's bicep. John can almost feel his smile in the dark. We do. Do you even have to ask? Echo adds, fingers tightening in the cloth over John's hip. Of course we do. John swallows, leans in. He rests his forehead against Echo's, then Fives's, and breathes in. Finds the strap of his comm, undoes it, presses it into Echo's hand, folding his fingers over it. Take my comm. He says quietly, and can't help the urge to brush his fingers over Echo's face, the slant of his cheek. Just in case. If you make it to the vault, look for a red hilt with silver tracings and a pattern of shadows on it. Take it and go up the stairs, and once you're on the mountainside, find somewhere to hide. Noel will come every 6 hours. All you have to do is wait for her to call and then answer it. He hesitates. Then closes his eyes, breathing out again. Tell her Aegon is a better swordsman than I am, and he can finish it. There's a moment of complete silence, and then Fives' fingers clamp down, a convulsive automatic grip. What? He asks, and there's an edge to it. John, we're not leaving, Echo says, and his voice rings in the gloom. John can't see his face, but he can feel his indignation, the edge of anger, a trace of fear. You can't ask us to... This is about something bigger, John says, soft, and feels Echo's swallow, Fives' indrawn breath. The key to the trap is below us, and I'm the only one who can reach it. But if I fail this mission, everything is lost. Please... Fives' exhale shakes, and a moment later, his hand finds John's hair, cups the back of his neck, pulls him in. He kisses John, brief and hard, and then lifts his head. You're talking like you're not coming back, but we know you are, he says. And John can't help but smile, touching his cheek. Thank you, he murmurs instead of answering. And turns. Echo's mouth catches his. That arm pulls him closer, and Echo's grip is as bruising as his kiss. You are, he says, and then lets go. John doesn't answer that either, just turns, leaps out into the darkness, and lets himself fall. It's a long fall, feels endless, impossible. And John almost feels like he's in free fall, in the depths of space with nothing below him, and only the bright beacons of Fives' and Echo's minds above him. There's a flicker of panic, of alarm, but the force is a steady pull, and John trusts it more than he's ever trusted another thing in his life. He closes his eyes, quiets everything else, and lets instinct speak loudest, and the force through it. It's instinct that has him twisting, reaching.
He cushions his fall, hits the ground in a crouch, and then rises. It's still dark down here, perfectly lightless except for the green crystal. But John takes a step towards it. Another. Walks to it without hesitation, because it feels right, and reaches out. His fingers hit glass, a bare meter away from the light. John? Fives calls from above, thready with distance. If Fives' helmet lights don't illuminate this strange darkness, John igniting his lightsaber likely won't do much either. He grimaces, tracing fingers over the glass, and calls back, "I'm all right." There's a faint hiss, continuous and unchanging, now that he's close enough to hear it. It's low, coming from behind the glass, and it doesn't sound like an animal's noise. John frowns a little, cocking his head as he tries to make it out, and steps sideways, trying to find some sort of opening. The glass curves like a bell, taller than John is, and it's hard to tell in the dark, but he thinks it's circular, perfectly smooth. When he reaches out with the Force, trying to touch the green kyber crystal, he can't feel anything inside the glass at all. A feeling like dread creeps down John's spine, makes his breath catch. He can't pinpoint a source, can't tell why, but it's there, heavy and waiting, like some vast beast curled in the black and watching him, waiting to pounce. It feels like the factory on Quetta, like Dirge and Ventress springing their trap. Like, "I will die here," whispered over and over in John's ear, as heavy as grief. John has never feared death, never mourned for the idea of his own passing. He's a Jedi, and he'll die as a Jedi, and when that day comes, he'll do everything he can before his last moments to save those who deserve it. But he won't fight against it, especially not when Echo and Fives are above him, balanced precariously in the darkness, waiting for him to save them. Even with the hum of trepidation singing through his nerves, he doesn't waver, just keeps sliding his fingers over the glass. He's probably circled the thing at least once already, but a seam, obvious against his fingertips. Quickly, John stops, following the edge across, then down. It's a low door from the feel of it, narrow and tight, but when he presses his palms against it, there's a quiet click and it swings inward. John ducks in afterwards, holding it open with his fingertips as he reaches out. And he still can't touch the Force, can't quite reach the green kyber crystal sitting on its stand. There's something soft under his feet, shifting and loose, and the door wants to swing shut again, the glass heavier than John would have expected. Thick, he thinks, and grips the edge of it tightly for a long moment. The crystal is the key to the trap. He knows that the same way he knows day from night. But if John lets go of the door to reach the crystal, he might not be able to open it again. He might be trapped in here, and with his sense of the Force blunted by whatever the bell is made of, he isn't even sure he would be able to use one of Dark Woman's tricks to get out. But that's why he gave Echo his calm. He knew before he jumped down here that something was off, and it makes sense if this is the trap. A Sith wouldn't sacrifice themselves for the sake of someone else. It's so opposite everything the Sith practice that they wouldn't even comprehend the idea. In the darkness, the hissing is getting louder. John closes his eyes, then loosens his grip. He lets go of the door, stepping forwards as it swings shut, and doesn't bother to look back. Reaching out, he finds the edge of the pedestal in the center of the bell, slides a hand up it. The kyber crystal is floating, hovering, and when he touches it, it bobs downward. Willing to try anything, John pushes it down, and there's faint resistance, but it goes, it sinks, and behind it there's an indent that it slots into perfectly as John pushes it home. All around him there's a tremor, In a wash of brilliance, lights come up, sweeping across the vast room from above. The lone tile Echo and Fives are standing on doesn't move, but with a hissing click, a series of walkways unfold from the far wall and stretch out, locking together as they slide out right to the edge of the remaining tile. There's a crow of victory from above, a sound of delight. Sand spills over John's boots, and he raises his eyes to the golden fall of sand that's hissing down the glass wall faster than before, piling up with unnerving speed. It's up to John's shins and only getting deeper. Above him, the column of glass rises straight up, spreads out like a support for the stone floor above. And John knows, without having to question it, that this pillar holds up the vault. If it breaks, they'll never get in. John swallows. He can feel the pressure of the kyber crystal against his fingertips, trying to rise again. When he loosens his grip, it floats up and instantly the light snaps off. The bridge of tiles shudders like the walkways are about to collapse. With a curse, John catches the crystal and shoves it back down, and the lights come back up with a hum, the bridge steadying. The sand is almost to his knees already. John? Echo calls, and John can hear them like they're standing right next to each other, close enough to touch.
Will the bridges hold you? John asks steadily.
And there's a moment of surprised silence, then a huff.
Yeah, Fives says. Probably. But there are three of them, and each one has different writing on the tiles.
Another trap, because it would never be so simple. John closes his eyes, steels himself, and asks,
"Can you describe them to me?"
Echo answers before Fives can. "And only on the first tile of each path. The way, self-discipline, and knowledge."
Despite himself, John smiles. Maybe it is simple after all. "Take the path that starts with the way," he says.
There's a pause, and then high above he can see Fives take a step forward, across one of the three bridges. It holds, and John lets out a breath of relief, watching them cross towards the next spot where the three bridges converge. It's a wider landing, and they come to a stop there, trading looks.
"Another one," Fives says, crouching down. "Same words, but in a different order."
John shifts, trying to brush some of the sand away from the top of the pedestal.
"They're the three pillars of the order," he says. "Knowledge is next, and then self-discipline will be last."
Pauses and swallows.
"You should hurry," he says honestly, quietly.
They can't see him well, and that's probably for the better. The sand is falling faster now, and it's completely blocking the door.
"Go."
"What about you?" Echo asks evenly. And when Fives takes a step towards the edge of the platform, he catches his shoulder and pulls him back.
That sense of doom, death, is still heavy across John's shoulders, a weight on the back of his neck. Not alarming, really, so much as inevitable. John isn't scared, and he curls his fingers in the sand that's almost to his wrist, then says,
"I'll see you again."
It's not a lie. As part of the Force, John will stay with them. He knows that the same way he breathes, automatic and unfaltering. Whether or not he can find his way out of this, he'll stay with Echo and Fives until they pass themselves. At a distance, if he has to, but it's been true this whole time.
"John, no!" Fives says, all sharp edges, and John thinks of that last kiss, the imprint of it hot against his lips, and smiles.
"Go," he says again. "I'll keep the bridges up."
There are no doorways down here. Once the kyber crystal rises again, the light will disappear, but John still won't be able to get out. The sand is over the top of the door, and the Force is muted, out of reach. He can't phase through the walls, can't teleport, can't shatter the thick glass. But that's all right. Echo and Fives will find the lightsaber, get it to Noel. Aegon Kolar can face Palpatine. And the lightsaber should give him an edge, no matter how powerful the Sith Lord is. And Noel will know when she looks at Fives and Echo.
She'll know how John felt, and she'll keep them safe.
Finish my mission, John says quietly, and tries to reach for their minds. But whatever the glass is made of, his sense of the force can't pass through it. He can't feel them, just the sand sliding over his fingers, high enough now to reach halfway up his chest.
Please.
Fives makes a sound of denial, but Echo pulls him back again, wraps an arm around his chest.
All right, he says, grim, and when Fives starts to struggle, he shakes his head.
Fives, stop.
But
Fives starts, and then stops himself. John can hear his shaky breath. But after a moment, he says,
the way, knowledge, self-discipline.
Yes, go.
John doesn't add anything else, doesn't try to put the feeling in his chest into words. He just watches as they pick up a run, heading across the last sets of bridges and leaping a short flight of steps to reach the door set into the far wall. They vanish through it, and John pulls his hand away, lets the crystal rise as the lights blink out, fights his way through the sand to reach the glass. But when he tries to press himself through it, he can't. It holds fast, and he curses quietly, puts his shoulder against the door, shoves, but there's no movement, no give. There should be something else. There must be, but John can't think of it.
I will die here, fills his head, rings in his ears, and there's a flare of panic that comes with it, an undertone of suspicion, of desperation, of cowardice. The dark side might be enough to get him out. One selfish, desperate, self-serving action, one moment of uncontained emotion and fury, and John might be able to break the glass. He could get away, even if it meant breaking the column, bringing the vault down. Fives and Echo would never survive that. Emotion, yet peace. Ignorance, yet knowledge. Passion, yet serenity. Chaos, yet harmony. Death, yet the force. John's breathing steadies, firms. He shoves away those thoughts. Too much his own, but fed by something else. He won't do it. There's nothing in him that would make such a selfish choice. And any temptation is natural but ignorable. He's not afraid of dying. And if the cost of living is killing Fives and Echo, dooming this mission, John will die gladly. The sand is too soft, shifts too much to provide any sort of foothold. And John stops trying after a moment. He sinks back against the glass, breathing out, and closes his eyes. Wishes, just for a moment, that he could feel Echo and Fives' minds one more time, but they'll find the lightsaber and give it to Noel. Noel will keep them safe. It's a good outcome. John can be glad of it. And if there's a flicker of regret that he won't be able to stay with Fives and Echo, well, he wouldn't have been able to anyway. And at least like this, if he joins the Force, he can stay close always, protect them no matter what. The sand slides over his shoulders, and John tips his head up, keeping his breath steady, his mind clear, repeats the mantra like he's sinking into meditation, and doesn't even try to fight.
I will die here, something whispers. Instinct or some last flare of self-preservation or the drowning dregs of selfishness. And John presses his fingers to the glass and accepts it readily.
Yes, he thinks. And it's steady, calm. But they're going to live.
It's enough.
It's everything.